Yo, welcome to Beast Podcast. And if you don't know, Beast stands for bringing empowerment and skills together. And that's exactly what we strive to do on this show. We talk life skills, we talk financial literacy, we talk personal development. All these things are going to help you be a better you. So stay tuned and enjoy the show.
But yeah, 15-year-old me, man, all of these perceptions that, you know, I just wanted to leave this earth because my identity was trapped into this ideology that I was just an athlete. Mm-hmm. I was gonna make it out for the family and telling my mom to just let me die. You know, I look back at it and I cry now because that's something that no parent wants to hear. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I was a minor, so it wasn't my choice. I was a special case as well because both of my kidneys were failed. Mm-hmm. The process was having both of my kidneys removed and being on dialysis full time. And for people that don't know, those are vital organs that literally transform toxics into waste, into peeing and, you know, using the bathroom, number one, number two, whatever. The kidneys and the liver work hand in hand to just detoxify your body. Without that, you can't filtrate toxins out of your body. Well, I didn't have kidneys to filtrate toxins out of my body. Therefore, I did not urinate during the whole 7 years I was on dialysis. What's even crazier is that think of having to pee really, really bad, but nothing comes out. No matter how hard you try, nothing comes out. My urination was connecting that catheter to a machine to filtrate toxins in and out of my body or fluid in and out of my body every single night for 8 to 9 hours a night. If I slept wrong, the machine would beep like crazy. If I turned over on my side, on my back, the machine would beep. I had to sleep like like somebody laying in a coffin, you know, so to speak. That's how for 7 years, from 15 to 23. I was on dialysis, man. And it was one of the most, I can't even give a term to that time point in my life because I experienced the most life, maybe even four lives in that 7 year span. I ended up dropping out of high school just because, you know, I didn't want to be known as this vegetable. You know, right before I dropped out, you know, I tried to muster my way through a year and a half, two more years of school. One of my teachers found out and they actually threw a prep rally for me to retire my jersey and they told the whole school. And it made me so upset that I dropped out. Because wow. I didn't want nobody to know that I was on a machine. I didn't want nobody to know that I was a vegetable. I was a former vessel of what I used to be, you know, like I can't even put a term on like how I felt at the time. Like the furthest away from God you could imagine, like, man, I used to ain't no fucking God. The fuck? What type of guy would allow a 15-year-old to lose both his kidneys, his whole claim to fame, his way of getting out of the hood, taking care of his family, his way of giving back to his community? What type of guy would do some shit like that? Ain't no fucking God. You know, this is how I'm going to die. You know what? I'm not going to die in pain. I picked up opioids. I picked up weed. I used to crush hydros and oxys into my weed. And I OD'd a couple times. You know, I OD'd to the point to where they had to resuscitate me. I had a seizure to the point to where I flatlined. And this is all within that 7 year span. And experiencing death firsthand a few times. Have that nostalgic, almost godlike meeting every time I experienced it. I had this detached nothingness. Like, think of having a conscious, but don't know who you are, where you are, how you are, what you are. And it's just blackness. You can scream as loud as you want. There's nothing to be heard. There's nobody to hear you. It's just a consciousness of nothingness. And that was my experience until I was resuscitated. Scared the life out of me, man. Like, if that's what I got to go to, No. There's something to this life that I'm supposed to pursue, or something that I'm supposed to have, or something that I'm supposed to give that I got to do before I get back to that affinity. And, you know, even in the process, you know, I was homeless. I was carrying my dialysis machine to my friends' houses, and their mom's like, oh, no, you're not dying here. So, you know, it's insane to think back that I went through that. Like, that me, 15 to 23, that's such a young, precious time. I went through that. I watched my friends go to basketball camps, football camps, go to college and everything. And here I am smoking weed in my homeboy porch, you know, just thinking about, hey, man, remember when I did that one dude? Remember that tackle when we was 14? And I'm like, dude, you 22. Life is not over. There's no way in hell life can be over at this age. So through that process, man, for me being so filled with anger that, you know, I was homeless actually by choice. You know, I'll clear the air. I was completely homeless by choice. I could have went back to my grandma's house. I could have went with my mom, but I didn't. I had such a pride and ego that I'm like, no, fuck that. I don't want nobody to see me struggle. This is my life. This is how I'm going to be. I'm going to sell drugs. I'm going to do what I got to do to get money. And it was just a time that I put myself through. Ego put me through. And I can't believe, you know, that I'm even reiterating like some of the things that I've been through, because sometimes I forget, I block it out, because my life is so blessed now that sometimes I forget what got me here. And so a lot of the things were my choices. My struggles were a part of my pride and ego. And a lot of that 7 years, I could have had support, but that I didn't choose to take. So just to fill you in between, I was a Make-A-Wish kid as well. And that was probably the turning point of my life. I was 19 years old. I made a wish when I was 15, and it got granted when I was 19. And this is going to be funny because, remember, I'm a football and track dude, and I did play basketball. And I used to have every volume of N1 mixtapes. And for the kids that don't know, N1 was literally our NBA in the hood, you know?
Facts.
Oh, God. Like, if you don't know Hot Sauce, you know, oh, man.
Baby Shaq.
Baby Shaq, Professor. Escalade, Big Escalade. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. What was that dude that had the ups? He had the
hair up there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, every hood kid dream was to be on the N1 mixtape. And so just to backtrack a little bit, I did play organized basketball, but because I did so much N1, by the time I got to organized basketball, man, this seventh grade, I'm doing N1 moves in the games.
Yo, coach had to be livid. I can only imagine. I'm a hooper, and if one of my kids did something like that, I spaz on them.
You know I'm on the bench. You know I was on the bench, my man. And the funny thing is, I shot with two hands too, but it went in, you know. So as soon as I did some goofy N1 stuff shooting with two hands, oh, I had a warm hot seat on the bench for me.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, just to backtrack a little bit, I did play basketball, but back to the Make-A-Wish, man. My wish was to meet Chris Paul and play one-on-one with him. How about that? And he was playing for New Orleans at the time. And they were New Orleans Hornets for all the children out there. Get it right. New Orleans Hornets. And Chris Paul was a superstar, boy. Oh, man. I resonated with his story so much because by this time, you know, Chris Paul was listed at 6 feet, but he's a true 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm about 5'11", you know, and it was just one of those, like, the underdog small kid stories, man, you know, Wake Forest, high school. And I did my high school paper on him. I did my junior paper on him. I did my senior paper on him. And so it was easy for me when I was asked to make a wish, you know, I went to meet Chris Paul. And the mortality rate for Dallas is, especially paired to Neil Dallas's, which was what I was going through, is 3 years. Mind you, I did it for 7 years. So year three, they were like, oh, this kid don't have too much longer. Let's grant his wish, which terminally ill kids are make-a-wish kids. For people that don't know, most of these kids are cancer patient whose life is, you know, pretty much headed to the other side. A lot of these kids are not going to make it out, you know, so they do something really spectacular for that kid before, you know, life as we know it ceased to exist. And I was a part of that group and I was able to live past that story. But man, because somebody granted my wish, I couldn't believe people existed. People cared. Mm. It was a paradigm shift that, oh my God, I've been doing this by myself, to myself, for myself. And there's people out there that wants to reach out and help. Man, we went out to New Orleans. We got to meet Chris Paul. And we look, man, me and Chris Paul are the same height. This dude ain't no 6 foot because I ain't no 6 foot. And I got a picture to prove it. But I got to play one-on-one with Chris Paul, man. He signed a basketball for me, and we got to watch them play a game courtside. We got to tour New Orleans in a little party bus. And that was one of my four visits to New Orleans and my love for the city now. And, man, it was a festival of, like, a paradigm shift. Like, dude, I knew there was support out there. Now I want to do better. I'm 19 at this point. I'm a high school dropout. Now I want to do better. The next 3 years or so, man, I worked my way up to a regional manager as a high school dropout for a retail company. Mm. By the time they found out that I didn't have the education to qualify, it was too late. I always had a hustle about me, man. And that was just a part of the thing. You know, I could always communicate with people very well. And I can't believe this 19-year-old kid worked his way up to like a 40-year-old position, you know, as a high school dropout. And by the time, you know, like I said, they found out, you know, they shift me down to a certain position. I was still a manager and everything, but I felt like I was underappreciated. So my store manager told me one thing, like she said, I can't believe you made it this far with no education. That baffles my mind. And it did something to me, man. I was like, what? Like, are you serious? Do you not know that I can be smart if I want to? Like, it was like one of those things where, like, I feel like I was tested on my ability to think. And it reminded me of my high school math teacher. She told me I'd be cooking her fries and frying her burger. And if the fries are not hot, she's going to send them back. Woo!
Yikes.
I remember that from the back of my, I mean, ooh. I ain't even gonna say her name. I'll keep her name confidential, but she knows. When I dropped out of high school and I went to a school attorney, and he looked at me and my mom across the table and he said, all right, let's just be honest. You got this many days to make up. You're just gonna go ahead, drop out and be another statistic, right? Dude, that's the direction you're headed. So just oblige and just follow the system. Dude, my mama flipped the table and went ham. Because this dude told me just, I'm systematic. This is who I am. This is what you do. You're a dropout. You're a black kid. It's what it is.
Wow.
And she went ham. I had to hold her back from fighting an attorney, man, you know? And it just reminded me, when that woman told me, it baffles me that you don't have the education for this position, I put in my 2 weeks notice. I was making real good money, man, as a teenager, you know? Mm-hmm. And I put in my 2 weeks notice, and I was like, bet. Also, I remember my ex's parents was like, you know, you with a low life thug just about, you know, what is he going to do for you? And all of those just mixed into my mind is like, dude, I got to get educated.
Mm.
Guys, too. It wasn't a thing of like college ain't for people who think college ain't for the wealthy. And no, for me, it was like my only way out. So I ended up getting the GED and scoring one of the highest scores in the state, enough to get into a community college for free. Mm. And it was like the start of Anthony Freeman as you see him today. When I realized, like, oh, man, if I applied myself in high school and middle school, I could have had an academic scholarship, man. you are so funny, dude. This is so foolish. Like, by the way, I'm still on dialysis at this time, and I'm like, now college is like, it was one of those things that we always joked about in the hood, like, man, you know, all white kids go to college. You know, hey, college ain't for no ninjas like us, man. We selling dope. Like, we in the streets, we with it. You know, like, oh boy, got the books. Boy, you goofy. This dude got books. Oh, he trying to be Dexter. You know, like, it was just something that was like very frowned upon and joked about where we from. And I'm sure you can understand that for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And yeah, like, I started to see a different perspective because I was surrounded by all these educators and these organizations like Make-A-Wish, you know, disaster relief, stuff like that. I was surrounded by people who went to college and it was normal for them. And how did you make that normal? After the GED, man, and I scored high enough, I had a teacher convince me that you realize, like, you're a college kid. You qualify for this. You can think. Go out there and be something. And so, you know, I applied for the community college, and, man, no looking back. Ended up being a 4.0 valedictorian college graduate. Ended up going back into, which the craziest story is, like, during my freshman year, actually, of college, after the GED, I got a 4.0 my first semester. My teachers found out I was on dialysis and everything. They found out I was sleeping in my Jeep and everything, which I had a old raggedy 1996 Grand Cherokee. Funniest thing is, first car I got in high school, and I have that car outside in the parking lot right now.
Mm.
It's built up now. It's souped up, man. Got a Hemi in it, lift kit, all that good stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, you from the South for real. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I made that my monster truck. That's my redneck truck, man. the funniest thing, man, like, I was sleeping in my car and everything, going to school, and I got a 4.0 my first semester, and that's when I realized, like, oh, I can think. Second semester came. I started reading this book. It was Rick Warren, A Purpose-Driven Life. Never, ever forget that book. It's basically like a 40-day journey with God.
Wait, and, say that again. Hold on, because I gotta write that book title.
It's by Rick Warren.
Rick Warren.
It's called A Purpose-Driven Life.
Rick Warren. Purpose-driven. All right.
It's insanely intuitive. It's like, literally, you're taking that same 40-day journey Jesus took.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was about day 22. I just got the 4.0 news and everything, man. I started summer school. I wanted to graduate as quick as possible. So I took on algebra, literature, English comp and everything all in summer. And I think we only had about 5 or 6 weeks of school. When I enrolled, I think I was in day two. And I was on day 22 of the Purpose-Driven Life. And after 7 years, man, I got a call that evening that there was a kidney for me.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it. I hung up on him, man. I tell this story. I hung up because my brothers, man, they funny, dude. Like, they used to call me RoboCop or Half Man, Half Machine or Bionic Man and everything, you know, like. And they would prank call me sometimes, like, good sir, we got a transplant waiting for you. And I'm like, yeah. And then it's like, oh, I'm just playing at this drill, you know, this trying, this is my brother's, man. Mm-hmm. Come on, fam. That ain't even funny, man. Mm-hmm. Like, but we joke like that, you know. It's, I mean, it's dark humor, but that's how we joke.
I mean, pretty much.
For sure, man. I mean, five boys, what you expect, you know? But yeah, man, like, the call came and I hung up again, and they called one more time and they're like, Anthony Dwayne Freeman. I'm like, that's me. Listen, this is serious. We need you to stop eating. We literally have a kidney transplant for you.
Mm.
And I broke down, dude. I couldn't believe it. Like, I felt like that was me being born again at 23 years old.
Mm.
I'm starting college late, but I'm in college. I just finished a 4.0 semester, and I'm in the middle of a summer semester. And I'm reading this book that's transforming my whole life, that's renewing my mind, so to speak. And you're telling me my prayers have been answered after 7 years. Insane, man. Insane. So I called my ex up and I'm like, it's happening. You know, she was there with me, man, like coming to pick me up when I was homeless, taking me to work and everything, man, like being there for me through my ego drives and just everything, man. So I had to call her and she took me to the hospital and everything to get that transplant. And this is where I truly found God again. I hated God. I hated Christ. I hated Christianity. I hated just organized religious ideologies. I hated it. I hated the thought of it because there's no way in hell that these deities exist, but humans are suffering to a grand level of what we're going through. I hated it. The divine purpose was like for me to meet God, so to speak. And in a purpose-driven life, it's almost like a journey to do so, to renew that faith, to actually like break the barriers of, I would say, this whole structure of Christianity. It's for you to expand your mindset and actually think of God, Jesus, the Son, Christ, you know, the Holy Spirit. It's actually for you to break down these barriers of structures that man put on religion. And it's a voyage with just you and God. And man, I was experiencing that. So the transplant happens that night. And the kicker is, it didn't work. I had there's a 50% chance of dying during surgery.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, I've been living 7 years on Dallas. This boy ain't scared of no death. Let's do this. 50% chance, that's some good odds. Let's go.
He said, I done died like 3-4 times already.
I swear to God, boy, like, they don't, you know where I'm from.
Yeah.
Or I can die any day, man. Hey, let's do this. Like, what you mean, dude? Serious face. It's a 50% chance of, man, shut up, bro. Let's get this done, bro. Right. Like, I'm ready. Well, we face death every day on the block, man. Let's get it. So it was just like a invigorating process, and at the end of it, the kidney didn't work. Didn't work, man. I'm in a hospital. I didn't understand why, you know, from the dialysis and everything, just everything coming together. I'm thinking like, man, I didn't enhance my faith. Like, what in the world did I do wrong now? You know, and the funniest thing is I could have got a transplant sooner, but man, they put you through these psychological tests, a 530 question test.
530, golly.
My therapist at the time, they said we all needed like therapy, which I did, don't get me wrong. And I'm like 17 at the first time I got denied a transplant. I'm 19 the second time I got denied a transplant. I'm 21 at the third time I got denied a transplant because you got to pass a psychological test. Bitch, I'm fucking 15. I was homeless in the middle of the hood, in the middle of the country too. And you telling me to pass a psychological test when I come from poverty? And I'm on dialysis, which nobody in my family has ever experienced? Are you fucking ignorant? Like, could you imagine putting... Let's just say you have a 15-year-old daughter, 15-year-old son, and you telling them the only way that's going to determine your success for the rest of your life, if you can pass this 530-question essay. What? Which at the time, regulations for transplant recipients and organ donors and organ recipients, it changed. The laws changed that year. And I got boosted to the top of the list when I was 23 because I was one of the long-term young patients, so to speak. And just had to preference that story because, man, it was a lot of unfairness, which is still going on in the organ recipient world today, that the majority of people who need transplant are actually minorities. But make it almost like a whitewash thing to where if you see commercials, especially with, you know, St. Jude's and cancer patients, you see white families, don't you? When you see these commercials for organ donation or are you an organ donor, you see white people, don't you? But discrepancy is actually the statistics of the real ethnicity who majority needs the cancer treatments, who majority needs the transplant. It's minorities.
Wow.
So for me to face everything through psychological tests and everything, there was a sense of discrimination in that process. 7 years didn't have to be 7 years. It could have been 3 years.
Mm.
But, you know, God has his time, and the most, you know, impervious place to be is in God's waiting room. And a lot of people don't recognize that until they recognize it, you know. And fast forward, man, it was a lot of lessons that I need to learn in order to get that transplant by 23. And, back to the night, you know, the kidney didn't work. The next day, they connected a vein and artery 2 years beforehand, which would prep me for what's called hemodialysis. And it's actually doing dialysis through your arm. And that's the process of itself, which is just insane. But, you know, I had to do that process the first 2 or 3 days because the kidney didn't work. The surgery was a failure, and I was back on dialysis. Man, I cried for 2 or 3 days straight, man. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that 7 years led me to this. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, God, what are you doing? What am I going through? And on top of that, my ex was like, hey, by the way, I'm about to marry somebody else.
Wow.
Oh, man. Add insult to injury. So that night I cried out, man. And I mean real tears. And I was like, if you fucking real, if there's any type of trace that you exist, show me. And I mean crying on my knees, like, fucking show me. The next day, that kidney went from 0% function to 90%.
Wow.
The day after that, 95%. The day after that, 99%. Day after that, you can go home. Yo, if you ever think that I can deny that God don't exist, man, there's no way in hell. There's no way in heaven. There's no way on this earth that I ever deny the existence of God after that experience, man.
Man, after that whole journey, because it sounded like after hearing your story, because this is my first time like hearing you tell your story. You've mentioned it a couple times during our calls on those Thursday nights, but like after hearing your story, it literally sounds like God's like, okay, like you're doing this to feed your ego as far as sports and you love it and all these things, but there's something I need you to learn. There's something inside of you I need you to learn before I take you out of this situation. And I'm not going to take you out of this situation until you learn what you need to learn. And it's like, and it was almost like that night where you felt like at your lowest, you know, your ex leaving you, you thought you had a second chance at life, but you don't, the transplant doesn't work. It was at that point where you literally just kind of surrendered and said, look, I'm putting it all on the table, God. Like, I don't want to say this is your last chance, but like, you got one more chance that you real. Like, and he was like, all right, bro, I got you. Like, you learned what you needed to learn, I feel like. You know what I mean? You went back and got your GED. You done got your college degree. You done, at the age of 19, worked your way up. Like, you see the talents inside of you. Like, all right, bet. Like, wish granted. Like, let's see what you do with this new life that I gave you. And I just think it's a testament to, like, everybody. I mean, if you don't go grab the book by Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, I just purchased it in Spanish so I can read it in Spanish. But, yeah, like, you never really know what your purpose is going to be. Like, okay, let me explain a little bit better. If you let your ego drive you, you'll never find your purpose.
Mm.
But if you really seek to transcend and like really find like deeper inside of you, what is your purpose? Then your life will always be fulfilled and you'll always have what you need because you're no longer living your life for you. You're living it for other people. And I think that was maybe one of the lessons that God wanted you to learn, because here you are now, like you've expressed to me, like public speaking, like that's the one of the next ventures that you're really diving into, is sharing your story more and more and more to give more people hope to glorify God's name. And it's like God was like, look, you're poised to do great things, but it's not going to glorify me. So I'm not going to let you do it. And then until you learn how to glorify me and put me first, I'm gonna keep you in this dark place, because it's molding you.
it's molding you to the person who I need you to be in order to influence the people that you need to influence. And I just think that that's powerful, man, to escape the grips of death, to experience death in the emptiness that comes with it, not living a fulfilled life. And it's just, I mean, I got gems out of it. You know, I got kind of chills, you know, so to speak, listening to it, just because it's like, man, like, we really underestimate our lives and what we can do with our lives. But we really got to take the time to, like, what is the purpose behind what am I doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, something deeper, like there's something bigger, like than money, than fame, than appreciation, than like, there's something bigger than that. And until we like really try to seek what that bigger purpose or mission is, we're in a sense lost, just adrift, just kind of going from one vice to the next, or, you know, one affirmation from an outside source to the next. It's like, find that purpose, find your lane and stay in that lane, man.
Hey, are you looking to start that new side hustle or dive into that new hobby of video editing? Or maybe you want to start a podcast. Maybe you need a logo or you need a logo animation. Hey, well, Fiverr is the place to go. Okay, Fiverr is a place where you can find contractors with varying skills in multiple different fields that can help you grow your business. We're talking, if you need an administrative assistant, you can find them on Fiverr. If you need a video editor, you can find them on Fiverr. If you need somebody to record a voiceover, like I'm doing right now, you can find them on Fiverr. Okay? Anything you would need to help grow your business is on Fiverr. So, to get started and find your freelancer contractor today, click the link in the show notes to get started.
For sure. For sure. Like, dude, this is... Man, you get me excited just by saying all that. Like, that's, you know, I don't even have the words to express the journey just leading up to this very conversation, you know. Man, it's such a thing, you know. I have a practice every morning and every night to where I absolutely surrender my will, my ego to God. I absolutely surrender the good, the bad, the in-between, to just heaven. It's almost like there's a sweet acceptance and a sweet, sweet faith that comes with the ideology of just surrender. It's not about being ambitious. It's not about accruing the money and everything. We don't realize when we stop trying, that's when everything is blessed upon you. I'm at the point where I am 30 years old now, and I'm just experiencing the life of, how do I put, man, it's just only been 7 years since that transformation. I've been able to grace the stage of, you know, multiple events. I've been able to go to schools and tell my story. I've been able to tutor kids and watch them go from ninth graders to college graduates because of my impact in their life. I've been able to see so many things. I've been able to travel. Nobody in my family has ever been on planes but me. And it's been one of those, like, adventurous, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, my little brother, like, man, he's only like 24, 25, and he made six figures before anybody as a truck driver. All because of the inspiration he got from me. You know, as of this year, I literally just crossed the six-figure plane.
Amen.
And people don't realize it's not far-fetched. It's not in the... I stopped trying and it happened. I can't believe it. You know, I've been able to be a semi-pro athlete. I've been able to tour the country to run again, to play sports again. I've been able to compete in sports in college. That's every Black kid's dream. College or semi-pro something. You know, and I've been able to get out there in my short McSeventy shorts on the track field in front of thousands of people to showcase my athleticism again. I've been able to win 3-on-3 tournaments with some of my good buddies in Cleveland, you know, in Utah, like in basketball, like stuff that we love to do, like things that put me in that childlike state. I've been able to conquer everything in 7 years, all from surrendering to not my purpose or my ego, but to God's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't realize how capable we are mentally, in our mind, in our imagination. We are absolutely free of any of this. We free of the $30 you got to put in your tank. We free of what type of car we got to drive. We free of the house we got to own. We free of the 6, 7, 8, 10 figures we got to have. We free of poverty. We free of wealth. We are free in imagination to be whoever, to think however, to feel whatever. But in faith combined with imagination, dude, your potential is uncapped. And it took me till 30 years old, even though all that amazing things were happening, it took me until this age to finally live it. Man, it's such a blessing, man. I mean that from the bottom of my heart when I say I have no worries. Everything is just blessed right now. I really mean it. And as you know, minorities, you know, in general, not just Black, not just Hispanic, but minorities in general, we experience this feeling of when things are going good, something bad is going to happen. Always, because that's how we grew up. Something bad is going to happen. What if you experience a different perception of always good things happen to me? Always. Just simple affirmations, man. Good things always happens to me. And that simple perception, the mental shifts, I promise you, I got everything that I ever prayed for in my whole entire life from that paradigm shift, from this story, from this journey, even to down to this opportunity to meet and just be in the presence of somebody just as great and greater than other people that I've ever met. Like, this is a blessing. This is a moment. And this is a moment shared in time that two spiritual beings get to have in order to project to the rest of the world or the audience that, dude, this is possible. You know, you're a young Black man yourself, running a business, athlete, mentoring children. Dude, this is possible, all from that paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we here now. And I got to say, every day, every moment, man, like, my story is just a blip in the system. It's just for anybody who's willing to accept that anything is possible is out there. Actually, all things are possible if you believe. Mark 9:23. That's my verse of the lifetime right there, man. Now I kind of wrap it up right there because I really like that, man. I want people to actually think that anything can be achieved. I promise you that through faith, through imagination, through purpose, anything can be achieved.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
Yeah, I was looking for this Bible verse to really encompass one of the things that you had said. That Mark verse was beautiful too. And I can't quite Proverbs, the one that I'm fine though is Proverbs 23 verses 4 and 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven. And it's almost, you know, similar to like your story. Like for the longest, you were really trying to do any and everything you can to put your family in a better position. Like literally doing everything in your physical power. But like you said, once you learn to kind of surrender, and really what it comes down to is control what you can control, which is your mind and your perspective on it. That's when the blessings start coming. So it's like, man, there's just so many gems in this podcast in general. So I hope the listeners out there can extract what they can. But more importantly, if somebody wanted to stay in touch with you, like if they wanted you to maybe come speak, you know, to their students or their team, or what's a good way for them to connect with you?
Oh, for sure. My Instagram, my social media presence is very minimum. I'm a huge believer in personal encounters more so than social media encounters. But my name on social media, Facebook, is Anthony Freeman. Just my name. Dreads in a suit. You'll notice me before anything. My Instagram handle is @transplantfit. I actually just started an athletic brand called Transplant Fit, Donor Fit. And it's a brand for donor recipient, donor athletes and transplant athletes to sort of have a platform. So yeah, Instagram Transplant Fit or @_transplantfit. You can follow me on LinkedIn, Anthony Freeman. You know, Facebook, as Afer mentioned, Anthony Freeman. And same with Twitter, The Real Transplant Fit.
Amen. And then I guess last thing before you go, if you had to turn back the clock, and I don't want to say turn back the clock, but you yourself, your 30-year-old self, can go back 15 years and talk to your 14-year-old self, what is one thing that you would leave, that you would, you know, one word of wisdom that you would leave for that young Anthony?
One good word, belief. I would say faith, but faith is only determining the belief of something you can't see. Belief is powerful. If I believed deeply in my environment of change, if I believed deeply in the faith, if I believed deeply in my imagination, I believe I could have healed myself. I believed I could have been more aware of my health, my food choices, things like that. If I had a sense of belief that I didn't have to belong and I had to strive, I would have been a different person. But it did lead to God's outcome, not mine. So one word of wisdom to everybody out there, including my 15-year-old self, belief.
Belief. Belief. Belief. Gotta believe. Gotta believe before you can do.
Gosh, dude.
Amen. Well, Anthony, man, I appreciate you hopping on the podcast. I'm sure we're going to have more of these conversations for sure. As things start, as we both continue to grow and mature as young men.
For sure. Definitely look out for me. I'm actually competing in the World Transplant Games in Australia next year.
Hey,
look out for me, man. I'm trying to break a 100 meter record out there. So, man, trying to get some cheer and some fans going on, man. Just be on the lookout, man. I promise you, we still coming up. It's a process, man. We still young.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shoot, I might have to plan a trip to Australia, man. We might have to get you a whole little documentary series.
Hey, for sure, for sure. Let's make it happen.
All right, Ant, man. I'll be in. You gonna be on the call later tonight?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
All right, bet. I'll see you tonight then, boss.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Yep, you too. Peace.
Yo, thank you for listening to the Beast Podcast. We hope that you learned something and are empowered and inspired to be a better version of yourself. Please go ahead and subscribe, like, share it with a friend, a family member, or anybody who can get some value from it. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. All right, y'all. Be great.